It's time for another episode of Three Up, Three Down, the show that is like Mike and Mike in the morning, except without all the sports knowledge, insight, breaking news, and guests. Actually, it's nothing like Mike and Mike in the morning. Well, at least it's something to listen to. And now, here's Jeff and Aaron.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Three Up, Three Down Talk, where we give the fan what they want to hear and not what large media wants you to believe. Before we get to our topics today, I'd like to have a word from our sponsor.
I'm brought to you by Amanda Stratford Photography. She specializes in weddings, senior portraits, and family photos. You can like her and follow her on Facebook or Instagram. Visit stratfordphotos.com for more information.
We have a lot of topics today, and they include NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Does he have too much power in the NFL? Did Matthew Stafford get paid too much? And did LeVar Ball ruin LaMelo's maybe college eligibility? But first, before we get to those, let's go right into something good. J.J. Watt has raised over $20 million and is still climbing for Harvey victims. How impressive is this for an NFL player to take the time? And I know everybody sort of is pitching in and it's just the thing to do, but he has gone actually above and beyond.
Look, I think it's amazing. Honestly, when you look at everything that is happening and all the stories that you hear out of Harvey, I think it's amazing that he's raised what he's raised. And then the photo with the 10 semi-trucks delivering all the – or eight to 10 semi-trucks, whatever it was, is delivering all the supplies that weren't even purchased with any of that money, that were all just donated supplies. I mean, I thought that was absolutely amazing.
It's great how people are getting around him. And, I mean, even the Dallas Cowboys have sort of pitched out to say we're going to help our neighbor. But J.J. Watt taking those photos also of inside the facility to just prove that he's actually on the scene. He's not just basically sitting there saying we need to raise money. He's doing it. He's getting in, getting his hands dirty. And I tell you, hats off to him. And that's why, you know, when they say that NFL players and other major league players aren't role models, yeah, they are. And this proves to – I would love for my son to look up to something like this.
Well, and I think we can't, you know, I mean, we can't read too much into it when you talk about your son looking up to it. I mean, he really is doing something great, and this act is great. I mean, I don't know J.J. Watt. I don't know him personally. I don't know how he behaves to say whether or not my kid to look up to him. But to know that in a crisis what he is doing and what and kind of what he is bringing to the table as an athlete and the power that he has to have that voice – I think is absolutely amazing, and it is great for the sport. It's great for everybody in that area. I mean, we need a story like this to kind of help out, because I mean it is really devastating down there.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we are going to get right back into another actual topic that we can debate. The NFL commissioner Roger Goodell. Do you think he has too much power since being the commissioner since 2006?
Well, I mean, another question would be, do you think he even wants that power anymore with all the negative publicity he gets? But I don't know if he has too much power. He is working for the owners. Those owners have stipulated what they want. And as a player, your employer is your owner. And, you know, Goodell just is the face of what the owners want. And cleaning up the game and making people accountable for their mistakes, just like in every other profession, we all have to be accountable for our mistakes. I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, a lot of the players that you hear complaining, like your Ezekiel Elliott, they put themselves into this situation. And a 6-game penalty for putting yourself into that situation, I don't know if that's necessarily the worst thing, where you might be fired in other professions.
And I'm not even going to take up for Ezekiel Elliott, but what's the problem is when a court says there's not enough evidence to get Ezekiel Elliott a punishment, how can Roger Goodell ignore all of that information and say you're still punished?
Well, I mean, you're talking about a criminal investigation versus what your employer can do. And suspending an employee pending an investigation is not necessarily out of the eyes that it would happen. I mean, anybody can get put on. I mean, our sponsor, would definitely think about dropping us if any of these news came out about us. And so, or not definitely, would drop us, let's be honest. And so, you have those things, and really you let that system play itself out. Ezekiel Elliott in the court of law, they're not going to pursue something if the victim isn't going to press charges. So why would they even go through a criminal case if the victim doesn't press charges? And I know the police can do that or somebody else can press charges, but it's just a messy situation. So whatever they deem to find, I don't know. I wasn't in that room. They deemed that it could be six game. I think where Goodell hurt himself is when you have someone like Josh Brown who gets two games or whatever stupid thing he got for the same offense. Let's start. If you have an offense, start making it uniform.
Well, the only thing that I can't stand about Goodell, there is no way that you can deny that since 2006, NFL has skyrocketed. So hats off to him for making it the even bigger brand than it was before he got in. But the only thing I don't like about him, it seems like he micromanages everything. He has to have his say in every single aspect of the NFL. So he doesn't actually trust some of his people. Sometimes there was one offense, and I can't remember which one it was, that his own guy that he put forth to do the investigation said there is no criminal act, and he still overrode what he said and still gave him a suspension.
Well, and that's his right to be that type of leader. I mean, this was collectively bargained. These players agreed to this, and then now they don't like the situation that they're in, and they're preparing for a battle, which is this something that's going to take up. But you know, negotiations are a give and take, and if you're going to give up some of this stuff, which is only affecting, what, 4% of the league? That is, you know, 4 to 10% of the league that is, you know, in trouble for suspensions. I mean, what do we have? A few suspensions here and there. You know, it just doesn't seem like something that players would want to give something up. They really wanted that practice time reduced. They wanted, you know, less time reporting to camp. They wanted those type of situations when they collectively bargained. And you know, to do that, they gave Goodell some more power. And you know, that's what they chose to do. So I don't disagree with it. I mean, I sometimes want to argue whether or not it's just or not, and whether or not an independent arbitrator would be better, but that's for Goodell to determine now because he has that power.
Hey,
he's not giving it up.
Who is one of the best leaders in history, the history books, that had so much power and his whole empire crumbled below him because he wanted his hand in everything? And if you remember, his name is Napoleon, and that's what I feel like Roger Goodell is. As high up as the NFL has gotten, he is going to make it crumble down just because he micromanages everything. He's got to start trusting some people because his NFL players, if he walked into the locker room, how many do you think would go up to him and say hi?
Well, but see, Goodell is just the face for the owner, so it doesn't really matter. Like, the owners are loving this because they just extended Goodell because it's everything they wanted, and it's now off of them. Like, so I don't disagree with that. I mean, the players can hate him all they want to.
Yeah.
They gave him that power. Look in the mirror. That's it. Collectively bargain it away.
Yeah.
Give up more time.
I just feel it's a volcano about to erupt, and it's not going to be solved today, but I'm sure there's going to be more stories out there. And
yeah, when we're still doing our show in 2021, exactly. When the CBA is up, then we'll see who's right on this one.
All right, now we're going to get to the next topic. LaMelo Ball, he's the youngest son of LaVar Ball, got his new shoe, and it's called the MB1, and it only cost $395.
And I love it.
You love it. You like the style of the shoe? Is that what you're saying?
No. I love this idea because we just argued the other day. Remember, I mean, I argued that players needed to shut up and go get the money while they could get the money. And essentially, that is what LaMelo is doing here, or his family is doing. They are, I mean, he just literally probably forgoed college. And so if the rules don't change, he's going to have to play basketball for 1 year after high school somewhere. But at least it's professionally. I mean, if they really want the money, go get the money. Why are we going to college? So
okay,
I love it.
Here's what it's all about. This is LaVar Ball. Hats off to him. I'm going to clap for him because his marketing genius is unreal, even though I hate every single thing that he does. But hats off to him for doing this. And he has even said many times that LaMelo is not going to make it to the NBA. And this is now another reason why he's going to struggle. Because the NCAA stepped in and ruined his chances of getting in the NBA because we're allowing this man to make money at 16. This is a complete reason why he did this. He knew the NCAA sanctions. He doesn't care because LaMelo is not making it to the NBA, and he has said it himself many times. So I think this was all planned, and this is a big reason.
You know, you say that, but, man, I hear one side of his mouth. He wants all three of his boys in the NBA. So my point is, let him go play wherever he wants to play professionally. Good for him. And if he has to play another year and try to make it to the NBA or whatever, or if he never does, good for him. Go get your money while you can get it.
I can't stand LaVar Ball, but, man, they have now – have you seen their show on Facebook?
I haven't watched it at all, but it's marketing genius, I'm telling you.
It is.
Keep promoting yourself.
I'll be honest. I watched it, and I'm going to – this angers me to say this. It wasn't that bad. It really wasn't.
Oh, it's the Kardashians. Come on. You can't really be watching that.
It wasn't even as bad as the Kardashians, and I'm sure it's going to be. They made the first one a little different, but it's not as bad as the Kardashians. But I agree that – I think it's a hard situation that on LaMelo with the shoe, because if he was a model, let's just say he was a model and they paid him to walk the runway, is that actually going to take away from his NCAA chances of playing in college?
I think it does if you get paid professionally, because there would be
why can I work at Walmart?
Well, you'd have players take advantage of that. I mean, you'd have every player then all of a sudden would be a model getting paid millions of dollars, you know, to go walk, you know, from Alabama boosters or whatever school that they play
for.
Yeah,
I can see that.
And so I get it. My point is, why do these kids need to go to college? You do not need to. If you really want to make money, go make money in a professional league. Go get paid
for
it.
He is not that good to get paid money in a professional league, though. And his dad knows that.
Well, it doesn't matter, whatever, if he is or he isn't. I mean, I just want to know how many shoes he's going to sell at, whatever, $399. Hey, awesome. Way to be the first high school player ever to have your own shoe. It's amazing.
They're ugly. I mean, have you seen a picture?
They are pretty ugly. And the promo shot with the shoes over the neck, it was pretty awful. It looked like it was a cell phone photo. But you know,
well, what I want to know is, was he struggling to get those off his head, and that was actually the best picture that they got? Like, you know, they were hanging over his neck and they were taking photos, and then he's trying to take it off of his head and it got caught probably in that hair that he has. And that's the photo that they decided to go with.
Amanda Stratford Photography did not take that photo. She was just like,
yeah, I can believe that. All right. That is going to be it for the three up. Great discussions, great debates. We will be right back with the three down.
And those are the ups. If you haven't had enough of this crap, here comes the three down.
All right, we are right back with the three down, and we have Twitter this week has been absolutely amazing. We've had some great debates on there, and this is a little plug for me. Our Twitter account is at 3UpTheDownTalk. We had one day that we talked about two topics, and the day flew by because of the debates that we were having with it. The biggest debate that we had on these topics was the Matthew Stafford highest paid player in the NFL contract. What do you think about that? And the debates were awesome. It was so great on the debates. I was told I know nothing and just stick with St. Louis Cardinal baseball. And I love that. I mean, you know that was a great debate if that was the case.
Yeah, I mean, I don't – Matthew Stafford, I really don't care about the contract because it's going to change next year. I mean, it's the thing. The NFL is making more and more money like we talked about earlier. Hats off to Goodell and the NFL, whatever. Every year they seem like they're blowing through certain barriers. And they're making more and more money. And you know as well as I do that if you don't have a quarterback – I mean, look at your fantasy team. You had to go draft Aaron Rodgers with like the first overall pick. If you don't have a quarterback, you are nothing. So the first quarterback that came up, Matthew Stafford, highest quarterback in NFL history, highest paid contract. Guess what happens next year? It gets topped. So,
but that's my problem with this whole thing. Why whoever is a slightly above average quarterback, if your contract is up, you automatically become the highest paid player in the NFL? Why?
Well, it's just a luck of the draw. Who's ever there? I mean, it's availability, and quarterbacks do not become available. When you have quarterbacks like Tom Brady, who's like, "Ooh, I'll take a pay cut for the team because I've already made my millions." You know, it's tough for teams that want to get into that realm. And Detroit already lost Calvin Johnson to retirement, and you know, it seems like they lose all their great players. So you hold on to Matthew Stafford, you give him what you want. I mean, if I'm Detroit, I'm doing the exact same thing. He's proven he can play above average. You said average.
He is not above average. He has a lower than a .450 winning percentage. That is not above average.
That's not his fault. When you put that's not his fault.
No loss is his fault, man, because he's the quarterback and the franchise player. So none of these losses are on him.
He can't let that. And they made the playoffs last year. So they made the playoffs the last 2 years.
And he's
0-3
in the playoffs.
Yeah. So was Barry Sanders. Anyway, made the playoffs 2 out of the last 3 years. You got to make the playoffs in order to make the Super Bowl. So, you know, that division's tough, too, you know, with Green Bay. I mean, you just drafted Aaron Rodgers. But if Aaron Rodgers was open right now, he'd be the highest contract
and he
for
should
quarterback,
be.
And we wouldn't be arguing.
He should be.
So. But he signed to stay with his team. If he would get closer to free agency, then he would have signed a bigger contract, but he signed early on to get that guaranteed money.
Here's my deal about Stafford. Everybody made fun of Romo. Everyone. Stafford and Romo are almost the exact same player. Things happen to both of them, especially later in the game.
Hold on, who's making fun of Romo?
You're going to say no media has made fun of Romo. Romo was made more fun of any quarterback in the NFL history. Let's get real.
And Romo had great numbers. He was a great quarterback. The problem was the Cowboys team just ran into problems in the playoffs. It's not always the quarterback's fault. That's my whole issue.
But
we put so much pressure on these quarterbacks, and we want to. That's the media doing that.
But you're not listening to me.
The franchise.
You're not listening.
But it's not.
If it was Romo that signed this contract, everybody would be crushing him. But that is Stafford signing it. Everybody's saying that's just how it goes.
Isn't he about Romo? He's not even on the Cowboys anymore.
No, I'm just saying.
Romo's a good quarterback. Do you have a Romo jersey right now? Like you're wearing a Romo jersey when you're sitting there talking right now? You're just, oh.
But you're not.
Poor Romo. Poor Romo. He didn't get a contract.
Listen, this is wrong, and I'm telling you why Brady makes his team good. If Stafford worried about winning, he would say, I would take less money for you to get me an offensive line.
Brady already got his money. That's the whole point. Brady's 40
years old.
And
Brady's still freaking playing and is still better than Stafford.
This might be Stafford's last year.
Brady, don't know the NFL. Brady is still at 40 years old better than Stafford right now.
Oh, 100%. Not arguing it. But Brady has earned the right to take that pay cut. Stafford is still young. I mean, you cannot put this on players. You need to get the money. The NFL does not care about these players. They've proven that. You have CTE. Your career can be over in less than 3 years. Get the money while you can get the money. So why
so
are
it's
we
about,
talking about Stafford?
So the NFL is about the money and not about winning. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
If I'm a player,
it's about the money.
And my future depends on what I do. I am not taking a pay cut unless I'm like Brady at 30-some years old and I don't have a Super Bowl. Give Stafford the next contract.
Brady already had a Super Bowl.
Let him renegotiate. I'm not talking about Brady, but I'm saying if I'm Stafford, in a few years, I renegotiate. And then I take a lower number. But B's worried about NFL greatness. He's worried about one more year. So he wants to play as long as he can. So he'll keep renegotiating for smaller amounts and smaller amounts.
All I'm saying before we go to the next topic is – if Matthew Stafford is the highest paid player in the NFL, he should have better than a .450 winning percentage in 0-3 in the playoffs. That's all I'm saying.
Say good for him. You have a great agent and wait and negotiate at the right time.
Good job for making the Lions.
Hey, remember how much Jeff hates you. And you can just
tell me this.
Hey, when you want to sponsor on our show, Matthew Stafford, you just come talk to me.
Okay, answer this question and answer this honestly. If the Lions didn't sign Stafford, what would their record be compared to what it is with him?
Well, what were they last year? Like 8-8 and they made the playoffs? Or
yeah, are they not making the playoffs?
So without that, they have 3 wins.
Who cares? Then they get a good player in the draft. I'm saying they're ruining themselves.
Look at Jared Goff. He had a great first year. Carson Wentz.
Jared Goff sucked. He didn't have a great first year.
That's what I'm saying. That's the number one overall pick.
Wentz might be one of the best quarterbacks in the last three.
You do not know what you get. That's what I'm saying. 1-2, Jared Goff had a terrible year. Carson Wentz, you know, and you look at it, and they were 1-2. It should have been the other way around, I guess. Anyway, I'm just saying.
All right, next debate.
So why don't you now, since you've been delaying it, start talking about your Cardinals who can't make up a mind of what they want to do.
Debate number two, we can go with the Cardinals. And you've been – he wanted this topic so bad because he wanted to rip into me, but I don't really know what it's about since we're in third in the Central. What do you want to know about the Cardinals?
No, here's my question for you. What do the Cardinals want to do? Like, why do you you trade away a contracted player as a pitcher that has multiple years under control that actually wasn't a terrible contract. You trade him away, and yet you leave Lance Lynn on your team who is going to walk away this year for nothing if you don't put a franchise offer on him.
Mike,
like, what are you guys doing? Are you guys selling off? Are you guys gearing up for the playoff run? What's going on?
What you don't understand, and this is you not being a Cardinal fan and you just being a Cub fan with blinders on, Mike Leake actually has sucked. And for us to get rid of him and get rid of his salary allows us to get somebody next year. You have to remember, Anthony Reyes is back next year. To me, Lance Lynn is a better pitcher than Mike Leake. So does that mean we might offer Lance Lynn a 2 or 3 year contract? You don't know. I actually thought the deal with getting rid of Mike Leake was great. I mean, really, what are we going to lose? We're not winning anything this year. What are we going to lose? You replace him with Anthony Reyes, and now our freaking team is all of a sudden way right back
up. But you don't have
there.
Lance Lynn. If he's that good of a pitcher, he's leaving in free agency.
That's okay.
So then you've given him – you're saying that you're giving them – that the Cardinals are giving him an offer, and they're going to see if he signs that offer sheet for 1 year. They're going to
and then we got a draft pick if he says no.
And then you got a draft pick after the second round. You're telling me that there's not one playoff team, if you would have made a move before July or July 31st deadline, there's not one playoff team that would have tried to take in Lance Lynn and gotten a higher or better player than that?
All I'm saying is we're talking about Mike Leake.
What about your closer? I guess he's hurt.
Well, and Rosenthal's hurt too. He had his last three starts for the Cardinals was an 18 ERA, a 16.62 ERA, and a 7.2 ERA. It was time to get rid of him. And if he pitches good for Seattle,
that, though,
fine.
Why not sell at the deadline? Look at what the White Sox did. The White Sox moved Todd Frazier.
I think
they
moved
a whole bunch of people.
I think we got lucky that we got rid of Mike Leake, and you weren't getting anybody for him anyway.
I think you got lucky, but at July 31st deadline, there is a lot more takers. I think you all didn't know what you wanted to do, and now you're reacting. You're not being proactive. So you should have been proactive and been like, we need to start looking at our younger players. And now you're doing that now, but it makes no sense why Lance Lynn's still on your roster they could have gotten you could trade any of these players.
Here's where I'm going to make you look dumb. Your whole argument was about Mike Leake and us trading him. Next year, he is owed $17 million. The year after that, he's owed $16 million. And in 2020, he's owed $15 million. And then in 2021, he's owed $18 million. What kind of player can the Cardinals get for $18 to $20 million? It's
going to
be better than Mike Leake, no matter what. It was a mistake to sign him in the beginning with that kind of contract. That's ridiculous.
Well, I don't know, because he put up put up good numbers at the beginning of the year. He struggled a little bit. You don't know how he'll finish. I would love to say that it was a mistake, because I would love to have you admit more mistakes. My thing is, you should have admitted that mistake way sooner, and you probably would have got more than whatever you –
I think we're surprised that we got what we did for Leake. Honestly.
I mean, at least you cleared salary. I will admit that.
They paid the whole salary, and we got a guy.
Actually, going to sign. I mean, are you actually going to get Stanton? Because that would, you know,
it'd be awesome.
Be the only reason why I want to clear any of that salary. Which, did you hear though that Jeter actually wants to move salary now? He wants to be below $55 million for the Marlins, which I thought was hilarious.
Because that's all about trying to raise the price of getting them up there.
Oh, it is.
All right. Last topic is we are going to every week do NFL picks. Each one of us are going to pick two games against the Vegas odds. And basically, this is free money for you guys. So if you listen to us, if you take our advice,
Jeff, our lawyers and our sponsor recommended that we might not be as smart as we think we are, and that we should, if people bet their mortgage, they should do so at their own risk.
Wait a second. Why do they think we're not smart?
Well, no. They just advise us. We have to have like that little like you know, they're betting at their own risk, not our risk, kind of thing. Like we're putting our stamp of guarantee on it for our mortgages, but their mortgages they have to cover.
All right. Well, you heard the word from our lawyer. We have a lawyer.
Yeah, on staff.
Wow.
Apparently, we get a lot of facts wrong.
We're big. No, we don't.
Sometimes.
We're great.
Sometimes we do.
All right, well, here's still my NFL picks that I am betting my mortgage on, and I advise you to do the same, but it's at your own risk from what I'm being told. All right, my first pick is the Indianapolis Colts. They are favored by 3 at the L.A. Rams. I'm going with the L.A. Rams. How can you not go with the L.A. Rams when Andrew Luck is not even playing for the Colts and they're at L.A.? That's what I'm going with. I think it's a no-brainer.
I think that's a lock. I think that would be a lock.
All right, so what's your first one?
My first one is I am actually going to take the 10 points that are currently being offered and take the New York Jets over – or not over, but New York Jets with the 10 points. They're going to finish – you know, they're going to lose to Buffalo, but they're going to be close.
Oh, so you're saying the Jets are losing, but they'll cover the spread against Buffalo.
They're going to cover the spread, 10 points, Jets.
Wow. Where'd you get 10 points? I got it in favor of 8.5.
I'm gutsy. No,
you can't add to.
It was actually as low as 6.5 here, but there's an online. I was looking. Oh, VI consensus, 10 points.
All right.
Anyway, Westgate was 8.5, but I didn't want to use that one. So.
All right, my next game is the Tampa Bay Bucks are favored by 2.5 at the Miami Dolphins. I'm going with the Bucks. I think they win for sure, but I think it's going to be over 2.5. One reason is the Bucs' defensive line is unbelievable. The Miami Dolphins are a very good running team, and with Jay Cutler as your quarterback, you know they're going to run as much as they can. I don't think they can get past that first line of defense for the Tampa Bay Bucs, and I got Tampa Bay. I would actually say Tampa Bay is going to probably win by over 7, but I'll be happy just to have it at the 2.5.
And I don't disagree with you there as well, but man, I feel sad with you picking against my Jay Cutler. He's going to put up some fantasy numbers this week.
So that means you're starting him this week.
Well, I mean, I can't you know give away strategy, Jeff. That's just not how. And then I am actually going to pick and this one it sounds scary, but I'm a genius here, so you got to go with me a little bit. Chicago is getting 7 points, and I think they're going to beat Atlanta.
I'm going to say Matt Ryan is going to basically rip the Bears' heads off and shit down their throats.
No, hey, here's what I want to say. You picked two pick'em games. Oh, I'm going to pick the one that's minus 2.5. I'm gutsy here, Jeff. I'm giving our listeners what they want to hear. The Jets are going to cover, and the Bears at minus 7, they're going to cover too.
I'm going to tell you right now, our listeners want to hear something that's actually going to happen. Our listeners don't want to hear a comical style.
Tyrod Taylor might not even start for the Bills. I mean, come on. The Jets are going to cover, and Chicago is going to win.
When was the last time the Jets did anything? And then at the same time, tell me who is going to be the quarterback of Chicago.
Grow some guts. Oh, hold on, McCown. No, grow some guts.
So you're like that guy on Major League 2 that's saying you have no cojones.
I'm gonna pick Arizona. Over
I didn't
Detroit,
pick Arizona.
They're 1 point. Oh, I'm gonna take the 1 point.
Oh, who's the underdog? Oh, it's Matthew Stafford that just signed the biggest contract in NFL history. They're predicted to lose again.
Hold on, I want to change my Jets pick to the Detroit minus 1.5. I'm going to take the 1.5 points because Detroit's going to win.
You're gonna pick Detroit. Okay, everybody hear that?
No.
What are you going to do?
I still want the Jets.
People are calling in Vegas and making these bets upon us.
No, they need to go with the Jets. I was just trying to be a jerk about Detroit because Detroit's going to win that game too, so I could give a third one if they want.
All right, that's going to be our side bet. I'll take Arizona, you take Detroit. That's just me against you.
Do I get the 1 point?
Yeah. Matthew Stafford's going to be out the first series with a knee injury because he signed the biggest contract. He's a wuss. All right, that's going to be our
locks of the week.
Locks of the week. And again, our lawyer and sponsor said what?
They said to believe us and know that we are smart, but bet at their own risk.
That is going to be our show for the day. I ask you guys to leave comments, rate the show. That helps us. It helps us also know what you all want. And follow us on Twitter at 3Up3DownTalk. And before we end, a word from our sponsor.
Amanda Stratford Photography specializes in weddings, seniors, and family portraits. You can visit her on stratfordphotos.com and like her and follow her on Facebook and Instagram.
All right, guys. See you next week.
Later.
Well, there you have it. Another scintillating episode of 3Up3Down. Man, good thing I'm only the announcer, because I don't have to listen to this crap.